I got a lot of stuff to say about Kay.
I want to talk about her fits.
I want to talk about the way she cocks David left and right. No, all right. Welcome. Ooh, welcome to PCM. Oh my God. What a month it's been. Welcome to PCMC.
It's been a long one.
Pop, culture, man, children. This is Halloween 2024. What a month we've had. What a journey we've gone on. From Dracula to Frankenstein to the Wolfman.
It's almost Halloween.
In the Invisible Man.
Just
and
days
now,
away.
Yes. And now here we are with the last of the Universal Monsters. Not the last Universal Monster movie, but the last monster.
Oh, really?
Really? Very late. I mean, think about... It's interesting that... We're talking about Creature from the Black Lagoon from 1954.
But of course.
Creature is... And I'm with Janine Gangrene Gagliardi.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm sorry. We have a lot to say. And it is almost the midnight hour before Halloween. We have to get it all done.
Yes. It's crazy that, like, Creature is always... He's like a mainstay in the cast. Like, it's always Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman,
Creature. Oh, I think that's just from, like a graphic design.
Probably.
Like, because he's got a different look.
Yeah.
And then they have two green guys, right? They'll have a Frankenstein and
yeah.
So it's in the sort of, like, bookends among all the people who look like people.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not too many, like, white faces.
Yes, that's true.
And then, of course, you have Wolfman. So this is brown fur in there as well.
Yeah.
You mix it up.
But it's so late. I mean, Dracula and Frankenstein in 1931,
it's
the
like
same 24 year.
24 years later or something, right?
It's way later.
Yeah. Was and it 1954?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very much, you can tell from its opening narration and everything in it, it's really moving away from the gothic horror thing and into the 50s sci-fi.
Yes.
It's super sci-fi.
It is like a nature documentary.
It begins with
like
evolution, like they bring up God.
From biblical to science.
Yeah.
And I wrote that the opening imagery conjures like nuclear explosions, like the atomic age.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, is this like an anxiety about what we hath wrought on the planet,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
What have we awakened?
It's that kind of sci-fi kind of horror. So it comes out in 1954. Which is the same year Godzilla comes out.
Oh,
by the way,
okay. I mean, that's definitely
which
an
I feel like
age
if
thing.
if you're really doing the lineage, like Godzilla, like if you had to pick between which one of these is important, Godzilla's more important.
Yeah.
This one, similar to the Wolfman, is not based on any literature. It's not based on a book.
Really.
It's based on an idea from William. What's his last name? William. Let me look it up. Hold on. Creature from the Black Lagoon. Did I have to look up what a lagoon was? Yes. William Allen.
Okay.
Allen.
This movie feels like Jurassic Park to me.
It feels like Jungle Cruise to me.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it has the look of Jungle Cruise. But I feel like it's a precursor to films like Deep Blue Sea, Jaws, even.
Yes, Jaws. There's a lot of Jaws.
Yeah. It's a creature feature, but it is framed as like a man versus nature.
Yes, absolutely. Let me finish the credits. Story by the story by Maurice Zim, written by Harry Essex and Arthur A. Ross, directed by Jack Arnold, who also directed It Came from Outer Space, This Island Earth, and The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in that 50s sci-fi thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the first episode you and I did for this month was Dracula, and it's so the other end. I mean, Dracula has no music. This has like wall-to-wall music.
Yeah.
And it's very dum-dum-dum.
Yeah, really loud.
What is, if any, your relationship to the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Well, I constantly call him Swamp Thing. I don't know why. I can never.
That's not his
I
name.
Don't call him the right name ever. I'm like,
he's
all right,
Gilman,
you ready to watch Swamp Thing? Like,
he's
I just call the movie the wrong name.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think this person is Swamp Thing. I know it's not.
His name is Brett Gilman.
Brett Gilman.
He was great in Fleabag. It's the creature or Gilman?
Gilman.
I feel like the fans call him Gilman.
Okay.
But he's the creature.
Not really anything other than knowing what he looked like.
Icon of him.
The iconography of this creature. And then when Shape of Water came out,
Right.
Seeing that shot, because whenever they would talk about it, like Guillermo del Toro would talk about like being so influenced by the scene where Kay is swimming and he's swimming underneath
her. That's the best part.
And I saw that shot like because they showed it as he was talking about it. And I was like, this is gorgeous. Like, oh my God. I had no idea it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like great design going into this movie.
The underwater photography is, I think, the best thing about this movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it twice. Mm-hmm. The second time I liked it better, mm-hmm. but I think it's, to me, it's the weakest of these movies, mainly because it's not really scary in any way. And it's a totally different vibe. Mm-hmm. And I also find the, tension between David
and Mark
mm-hmm. exhausting.
Yeah.
Although again, the queer thing, the documentary Queer for Fear talks about this movie and talks about how it's like basically two shirtless hunks mm-hmm. like going at each other the whole time.
Yeah.
And the prize is Kay, but like maybe they don't need Kay.
Yeah. It's true. Only one person needs Kay.
Yeah.
Person question mark.
Yeah.
It's Gil.
I love that Guillermo del Toro was like, can I make
a K/creature movie?
And they were like, no. And he's like, okay, I'll just not call it that then. I was just going to go make it, but you now you're not involved. And they're like, ah, oh, shucks.
Here's your Oscar, Mr. del Toro. Yeah,
I know, right? I also did an episode not that long ago with Nadia about a movie that's kind of a ripoff of this called Humanoids from the Deep.
Yes, I listened to that episode.
Which has a lot of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Which it really has its origins in this. That the monster, you know, is... The producer said that he was inspired by Beauty and the Beast. Okay. And you see that
for sure.
There's also a lot of that in... King Kong.
Yes.
Bill,
while we were watching this, called this is the aquatic King Kong.
Yes.
And even like her white bathing suit,
mm-hmm.
You know, as a parallel to the beautiful, like the white dress that Faye Ray is wearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are two guys who play the Gill Man.
Mm-hmm.
Riku Browning played him in the water.
Smash.
And Ben Chapman played him out of the water.
Is there a reason?
Not as good.
Okay.
I don't know. Riku Browning,
hot AF.
I haven't seen him.
Crazy hot. Yeah.
Well, what about Millicent Patrick? She's pretty hot.
Who played Kay?
No.
Who's Millicent Patrick? Millicent Patrick, the costume designer. Yeah,
the one who designed it.
They say in that thing you sent me, in that clip you sent me, they're like, and they used to send her on tour to talk about the costume because she was so pretty to look at. Yeah.
She had been an actress.
Okay.
And then she worked at Disney as an animator.
Ooh.
I think she was the first female animator. And then she was working at Universal and she designed the creature.
It's a gorgeous costume. Like,
it's beautiful. It's crazy.
The whole movie, I just kept saying like, wow, this costume. Wow.
You can't see the seams. It looks good in water and out of water.
It looks great. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then the Bud Westmore, who was the credited makeup person on the movie, was like upset that she was getting all this publicity.
Riku.
Oh, he is pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stole her credit. He made a fit and they were like, fine. And he stole her credit. But now we all know that she deserves the credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I first saw it, I was like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be at all. It's all in daylight.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
Yeah.
The only like darkness is in his little grotto.
Yeah, that's true. And also under the water. It's black. It looks, you know. Which I guess is just a lighting thing.
Yeah.
But it's really effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This movie was made in 3D.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Some people erroneously think it's the first 3D movie. That's not true. 3D goes back actually pretty far to like the 20s. But it was one of the first in like that run of 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3D was popular again.
Yeah.
And you could see a little bit of it with like moments where the hand comes up. Like,
yeah.
You can see that like 3D photography of like, we want shit to come out the camera.
Yeah. A lot of hand work in this movie.
The hand is the scariest part of him. Because it's the only part of him that looks monstrous. It's the only part of him
that can kill.
Yes.
He just paws people's faces and then they're dead.
Right. And then Tom, the Thompson, the scientist who smokes the pipe, they say he's infected later. So yeah. Like, what does he do when he touches you?
He scratches you and he's got like all kinds of staff on him. Like, I don't know.
All kinds of staff.
He's always kicking up like gross, algae. And
he's all alone in this world.
I guess he is.
Yeah.
I suppose.
But you know his hand is monstrous, mm-hmm. but his face it's got the indifference of a fish. Like it really I like does. That he's not mean looking.
No, he has these like spooky glossy eyes.
Yes, they're so dead. Shine. They're dead fish eyes.
They shine though.
Yes,
but they just stare relentlessly. And then he's got this mouth that when he's on land like opens and shuts. And
his gills actually like...
His gills move. It's incredible. Incredible costume work. So this movie follows this expedition in the Amazon. And the scientist is there. And he's a real like Dr. Moreau type. And he's like looking... he's like on an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
They find a fossilized hand of a creature, right? And so he goes to this... marine like biology center nearby. He wants a colleague of his to like get eyes on it and see what he thinks. And they're there studying the lungfish. And this is where we meet Dr. David and Kay, who is a colleague, but is not a doctor.
Right. She works there, but she also seems to, but when they're on the trip, she seems to just be along.
Right. She's like along for the ride.
Yeah. But what is your job then?
Right. And they're studying lungfish, which are real, and they have evolved to have both gills and the ability to breathe on land.
Uh-huh.
And so that's sort of like setting the scene for like what we are going to find, which is this creature who can both live in the water and on land.
It's kind of got that hard sci-fi thing of like throwing real science out there.
Yeah.
There's even a part where David's like, there could be aliens from another world. And like there's a lot of ideas in this movie.
Yeah.
It's such a far away from Dracula.
Well, so they go and they discover that the remaining crew has been savagely killed and attacked by something they think is a jaguar because it has long claw marks all over them.
And you don't see it. They walk into the tent and they're like, oof.
But that scene is really scary because we just see that big old floppy hand coming in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of groans and screams and you don't see anything. Yeah. Like I could see myself like in the 1950s not having... you know, the horror palette that we have today being like, this is scary.
Yeah.
Like, this is a gruesome attack.
It's unnerving.
Yeah.
But I find it's obviously intelligent,
mm-hmm.
but I find it's like indifference scary. It seems to like not give a shit about us. He's got its own thing going on.
He just wants a woman.
It's not until he sees Kay that he seems to have an interest in her particularly.
Yeah.
And then he's like creating dams and fucking with them.
Yeah, that's scary too that he's intelligent.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to Jaws because like you only see his hand for so much of the movie.
Yes, that's true.
Until you see like the full
underwater.
Yeah.
When Mark and David go underwater the first time. I forget what they're doing. They're just where they go.
They're looking
just
for
take
stones.
Pictures? Yeah, they're looking for stones.
They want to compare the stone at the Black Lagoon to the stone at the site to see if it's the same. Era.
Right. Because it's all about this hand.
Mm-hmm. They dug for 8 days, but they can't find the rest of the fossil. So they're like, where is it?
Right. And then they see it and they're like, oh shit, there's a live one right there. Or something like that.
People start getting attacked, basically. Yeah. Like, I kind of lose track of what they're looking for when they go under, because they go underwater a lot.
Yeah. No,
They take the aqualung, as they say.
Yeah, they go...
Bill and I thought the shotgun on the wall was going to be like one of them gets the bends really bad because they kept bringing up like, well, how long do they have to wait before they come up? But that never became an issue.
But that's that hard sci-fi thing again. It's like wanted to tell you the science of it.
Yeah, they wanted it to be like realistic enough that you think that this could potentially happen.
I mean, they taught you about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
They just say God did it.
Yeah, that's right. I loved seeing all the like retro scientific equipment and like harpoon guns and like those retro goggles that they're wearing.
Yeah.
I loved all of that. It felt like retro futurism, except it was like just the cutting edge at the time, which is fun.
I really love Captain Lucas.
Oh, he's great.
He is.
He's got a real zeal for life.
He is the best.
He's chomping on that cigar.
And we see a real, you know, obviously this is the Amazon. So mm-hmm. it's very different from like the Hungarian people we were talking about when we talked about Dracula. Mm-hmm. But if you look at all of the Universal Monster movies as one, you know, as a piece, you've got that tension between like the either white or American sort of colonists. Mm-hmm. In this, they're men of science, right? Which versus is like rationality, yeah. And
like the working men.
And the working men.
Yeah, so in Dracula, it's like farmers. And this, it's like these right. these people. Well, I mean, but they're helping on the expedition. Here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see in the years that it's evolved because
yeah, it's a whole new world. Like, you're in Brazil. You're playing by my rules. They have
much greater agency here.
Yeah. Lucas is great.
But Lucas is great. He does refer to himself in third person a lot, which is...
He's like, I, Lucas.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, that's his name.
Even me, Lucas.
I love that.
When Lucas pulls the knife on Mark, I was like, awesome. Because yeah. I fucking hate Mark.
He's like, don't you ever talk to me. Presume like, to speak yeah. to me on my boat. I'm the captain now. I am
the captain of the fucking boat. Yeah, don't even. So I say what goes. Let's talk about Mark.
Shall we?
He's a hunky guy. But he's like... He's also a scientist, I think, but he's like the money guy. He also seems like
the money behind the science, yeah. But he doesn't seem to know much or care.
Right. He funds it.
He wants this discovery so that it will bring a lot of funding to their research center.
Right. And then when he finds out that there is a true Gilman, he's like, let's fucking kill it and bring it home. Yeah. And David's like, no, we got to learn from it, mm-hmm. which I think is also interesting for a 50s monster movie.
Yeah.
That like he's kind of like... The protagonist basically is kind of like very sympathetic towards it the whole way through, even when it gets a little starts fucking with him. You know, at the end, like they could finish him off, and he's like, let him go.
They're like, let him go. Yeah. Like, don't let him go.
Yeah.
Don't let him go at all.
Do you know in the, I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. The third movie in the series called The Monster Walks Among Us, they like, give the Gilman an operation to be a human.
No.
So he's like, he looks like the Gilman, but he's got like smoother face.
Ew.
Let me see if I can Google it. I need to see this. It's, people say it's absolutely bananas. By the way, I was saying how I like the indifference of his face. This is the Gilman in Monster Squad. They give him a mean face.
Oh, no.
Which is like, no, that's the wrong thing. He's got a...
He always does sort of look like, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
Like, what's going on?
People.
Well, also they drug him a few times, so he's kind of like, "What is going on?"
And they call it Rehifnol. So there's roofies.
Oh, forget me nows.
They're throwing roofies in the which I've read that is not a real drug. It is a movie drug.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So I
roofies or
no, no, like that actual
that they say
Rohypnol. Oh, okay. They called it, I think they called it Rufinol in The Hangover or something, which is not a real, it's Rehifnol. But okay. They do throw roofies. It's legit roofies. That's something I also found to be, it's so bad. Look at this one. Look at that one. That one's horrible. That's horrible. So weird. Also, why is he so much bigger?
Look at the
I hate it. I hate it. Okay. So for scientists who want to like preserve this species, this specimen, and they're like, wow, the beauty of the nature in the Amazon is so, you know, mesmerizing and we love it. They're dumping drugs in the river to catch fish. He's like, yeah, we use this to catch fish. I'm like, you drug the river to catch fish? And then Kay at one point tosses a cigarette in the river.
Yeah.
She's smoking a cigarette on the side of the boat. She's nervous because I guess they were diving. Yeah. And then she just dumps that cigarette in the water. Well, at that point, I was on the creature side.
I was like,
get them all.
When they're looking in the very beginning, when they're looking at the fossil hand, Mark is smoking right next to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, Mark, that's a priceless artifact.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, this is crazy.
That's a great set too. Those like spotted sharks that are in the tank behind them. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
They really had an eye for design in this movie. Like you could tell they're really making like deliberate choices that made it look really good.
There is some rear projection, which I don't think doesn't look great.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like when they get on the bar, like the floating dock.
Yeah.
It's really obvious.
Now it would be like green screen.
Yeah.
But at that time it was like literally like there was a screen behind you and then a projector behind that screen projecting an image.
Yeah. Like when people would be driving. Also, and stuff.
Did you watch the $4 version on Amazon Prime?
Yes.
There's also, I don't know if this is all of them, but there are some scenes that are slightly out of focus and it looks like they're cropped in, and I wonder, like, was there a time where this movie was cropped in some way, or does it have to do with the 3D?
Maybe it's the 3D.
It's not as well preserved as like Dracula,
right? Or some Dracula looks great.
Yeah, like it's not that well preserved, but it is good looking. It just hasn't preserved well, I don't think.
Yeah.
Kay is played by Julie Adams. Lovely. She has 148 movie TV credits. Wow. She died in 2019 the age of 92.
God bless.
She was on her last movie was in 2018.
Wow.
She's beautiful too.
She's beautiful. Really beautiful. Her fits are outrageous. Her little shoes. I'm crazy about her shoes.
Her sweet little swim is what causes all the trouble.
Yeah. Because
that's when he's like, hello.
He got eyes on her.
Hello, nurse.
Like, I just went through puberty.
And when she's swimming and she's not aware of him and he's swimming, he's like mirroring her.
So close to her.
Yeah.
Like he's almost touching her. Then he plays like, I want to touch your little foot.
It's beautiful.
And then she gets a little freaked out. But then she goes down to find out like, what's touching my little foot? No.
Yeah.
No K. But that's the scientist in her, I guess.
I guess. If she's a scientist.
I guess.
It's not clear.
Well, that's great too, because after David comes up from the dive, it's this also read queer to me. David and Mark have just come back from the dive, and she asks him like, what was it like? And he goes, it's another world, Kay. And she says, I'd like to see it. And he doesn't say a word to her. And he just goes down into the like the hull of the ship with Mark. I'm like, oh, that's weird. And then she goes by herself. She's like, fuck it.
Yeah. I don't need, yeah.
If these men are not going to get me off, I'll get myself off.
That's right.
So she goes in the lagoon. And then the creature's like, I'm more than happy to oblige.
Yeah.
I'll help you out with my big, crazy hand.
It's slimy, too.
And then they're also upset with her. They're like, that was a very foolish thing to do, Kay.
Yeah.
Only men can swim.
Yeah. So there's a conflict. There's a lot of conflict between Mark and you get the sense. Well, Kay keeps saying that that Mark helped her get this job and she feels like she owes something to him.
But she worked with Mark before David got there.
But you also feel like she fucked Mark before David got there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Mark even like flirts with her at one moment.
Yeah.
Or like hits on her a little bit.
Well, she tells David like, be careful down there. And he goes, well, I hope you're worried about me too. And she's like, of course I am, Mark. She's so obliging to every man.
Well, that's
every
the thing.
Single man.
That annoys me about Kay because
I feel bad for her. I'm just like, girl, like what other choice do you have?
You're
about to get like a train run on you on this boat.
If you're not like and Captain Lucas is involved.
Oh, he's gonna be number one. But Mark is complaining about the boat. And he's like, well, did you enjoy your quarters? The finest room on the ship? And she's like, I loved it. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
I felt so bad. I was just like, okay, we've all been there, girl.
I get it. Yeah. See, I want to criticize her even, but I know you're right. I notice I just feel like David is obviously.
She's there to be charming and nice and smart and chaste.
Like to me, Mark is such a D-bag.
He is.
But the way she kind of is like, I like you both. You both are great guys.
You both are nice because you're men.
Yeah.
And I know you. So you're nice.
Yeah. Like you part of.
You can be as big a dick as you want and I'll still treat you like you're nice and normal.
You kind of want her to be on David's side a little bit, at least me. Although he is dragging his feet and proposing to her.
He will not marry her. He's like, well, she could afford me then when she gets her raise.
Yeah, what's that about?
I'm like, huh? You don't want to get married. Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
The creature's like, you know he's gay, right? She's like, what?
Look at these big old lips for kissing. Come on over here. And whenever he's on land, he's doing that. He's like,
he's a little goldfish. He's like, bom,
bom, yeah.
Bom. gross. Let's see.
I mean, the only other choice she has is Lucas, who oozes sexuality.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of like we're on the back and forth. We're in the water. We're on the boat. We're in the water. Yeah. We're on the boat. We're in the water. And a few times the creature gets on the boat.
Yeah,
and
fucks you see his foot. Yeah, like, you see his hand coming in the window.
And you're like, whoa.
When the hand came into the guy whose face got messed up already, I was like, please, he's been through enough.
Yeah,
don't grab him again.
And he kind of like can't say anything. He's like,
and they're firing wildly at him. Like, you're gonna hit this guy.
Yeah.
It's great. But then I noticed he keeps destroying the lanterns.
Yes.
I was gagged when she threw that lantern at him and his head just went up in flames like so quickly. Yeah. He's very flammable, it seems.
They catch him at a park.
They catch him. And there's and that shot is eerie.
He's in like a bamboo
cage. That's a spooky shot where you just see him like under the water in the cage just staring.
Yeah.
Like blank faced staring.
Yeah. But he's biding his time.
Yeah. And when he gets out of that. Wait. No, it's not when he gets out of that. It's like another time when they're hunted, like doing the night hunt.
Yeah.
Where they're like, we have to go find him where he lives. We have to get him where he lives in that little grotto. And so they go out to hunt for him. And then Kay is left on the boat. And when he comes onto the boat very quickly and just like grabs her and tosses her into the water with him. Like they both jump in. I screamed because like I did not expect that.
Yeah, it moved that so moment. Quickly. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. Like, this really got me. It He's actually like, scared
I'm
me.
I'm taking her.
Yeah. It happened so fast. You're like, wait, what? This whole movie, he's just been, like, slowly creeping around, and now he acts very quickly.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's constantly revealing himself to be smarter than you think he is.
Right. By building that dam and blocking their
Yeah, that's pretty
out,
fucking smart.
Like, that becomes the issue. Like, they can't clear it. He keeps pulling on the winch.
He's like, you can't leave now. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Now you can't leave. Now you can't leave.
He locks the door. Now you can't leave.
Yeah.
So they're trying to remove the logs, and he's like fucking with their ship.
With the winch.
And the winch, and like pulling it down. Yeah. And he's incredibly strong. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That scene.
The winch, like.
The winch bending. Breaking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that they can't leave the lagoon.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they have to fight him because now, like, otherwise, one of them has to be bait and try to get him away so that the other ones can clear the logs.
They decide that they'll drug him again.
Yeah.
Because if they can drug him, he will be, like, loopy, and then that'll give them the opportunity to get the dam out of the way.
Yeah.
So they take one of the aqua lungs and they turn it into, like, a...
Like a spray gun.
A spray gun for this drug.
Yeah. They treat him like a mosquito, they say.
Yeah.
Like they're going to spray him with bug spray.
Which is pretty cool. I like that. There's finally a fist fight between Mark and David.
They punch each other. Yeah.
They punch each other. And then...
Which the guy, the patient, is also just like party to this. Yeah. He's witness. He's like, a silent witness.
He's like, fucking get a room, you two. But in typical homoerotic fashion, like they're closer after. Like they have the fight and then David leaves Mark knocked out and then goes under, and then the creature sort of starts attacking him, but then like Mark shows up and shoots him with a harpoon gun. But then Mark dies.
There's a crazy fight, like an underwater fight, which I was waiting for. The whole movie I was waiting for there to be like a tussle under the water.
And the gill man spins around like an alligator does.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And how difficult it must have been to film.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And Bill kept saying, like, I wonder how he did it. Like, if there was some kind of, like, way he had a tank in the suit, but that would have been way too small. So he's like, I bet he had a pony tank, which is like someone is nearby with a tank and then would just give him oxygen. And then, or they just kept coming up and cutting. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But the water performer, not that I take anything away from the earth performer, but the water one, I feel like that's him more to me. I feel like that's what I think of, because he's really got it down. I mean, like, it's not, he doesn't just look good, like the way he's moving.
Yeah, he definitely decided on this is his movement style in the water. Because Kay, when she's swimming, and obviously she's a very good swimmer, like she's doing like strokes, you know, she's doing stroke swimming, where he's doing this really like fluid kind of style.
Yeah.
He obviously like decided on a style of swim that he was gonna do for this creature. Yeah. And that was all Riku. Hot Riku.
It's a great monster performance. Because it is menacing, but it also, you do kind of feel for it. Because again, it's a lot like King Kong. Because you're like, it's alone. Mm-hmm. And sort of like a relic of something in the past. Like, it should not exist, but mm-hmm. it does still.
It does still.
And it sees a lady and is like, hey.
Yeah.
Because there is a part where the scientists are like postulating as to like how it exists or something yeah. like that. And they talk, I forget how they get there, but they're like, it's kind of like this animal and whatever. And Mark's like, I don't care, let's kill it and bring it back. But it also, it reminded me a little bit also of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And beginning with the archaeological dig is a lot like Jurassic Park.
Yes, very much so. And I kept thinking like, oh, there, it's going to be some kind of a reference to, you know, our use of nuclear bombs and like, what have we awoken? But really it was more just like, this is something that we didn't know
existed. Nature. Yeah. Yeah. It's nature. It's a part of the world that we're not... Like at one point, David says, like, we don't know really what's in the yeah. water.
Well, that's going all the way back to the beginning of the month with Dracula. That's something very different where
yeah.
they're coming in and assuming they know better than everybody there. Whereas this yeah. team very quickly realizes like, oh, we don't know anything.
Right. There's a nice progression
yeah.
as to how they're treating. Like the fact that Captain Lucas is an actual character with a name.
Yeah. And he tells the story. He's like, there have been people who say, like, there's a Gill Man around here, yeah. like a guy who's half fish and half man.
But
I never thought that was true. I guess it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, obviously it's a scientific matter, but like they're taking that information.
Yeah. He's part of it.
Yeah.
And he's got ideas.
And they take his ideas, right? Like the Rifnol,
yeah.
the winch, like using his yeah. tools to, you know, solve their problems.
And when David's like, you know what? Fuck this. We got to go. We got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And Lucas is like, all right, let's do it. And then Mark grabs him. He's like, no, I'm the boss here. And he's like, takes the fucking knife out to his throat. And he's like, you want to fucking rethink that?
He's like, I'm the boss.
I'm the fucking captain of this ship.
I'm sorry, are you wearing this hot little hat? My big cigar? No,
are,
no.
Are you Lucas?
Are you? Is your name Lucas? No, I, Lucas. Yeah.
It's me. It's my boat.
Love Lucas.
There is that one like deckhand that dies randomly.
Well, they kill the brown people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have no issue killing the brown people. At least they killed Mark too. So that was good.
Yes.
And they named that other guy.
I am glad they killed Mark.
I knew once Mark was like being such a dick that he can no longer survive, I was like, well, he's got to be next.
But what's interesting is with Mark dead, it feels like now Kay and David could really have a relationship. Like, well, he's dead. So now we're good.
Yeah.
And at one point, David says, like, oh, let's get married. Like, he kind of, like, brings it up. Like, this is a
weird...
Now
that my lover is dead,
this is a weird time.
Suppose we yeah. should marry.
Yeah.
Also...
A lot of people not
I better marry
shorts.
You before this fish man tries to fuck you.
Yeah. Because he's probably better than me. What? So I looked up what a lagoon was. I was like, you know what? I don't know what a lagoon is. Mm-hmm. I got it from... The interwebs. Where is a small freshwater lake near a larger lake or a river?
Oh, okay. Like a,
so, it's like a little.
But it has to be connected.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. It's almost like a pond, but it's not yeah. self-contained.
Yeah, it is. It does feel like it's just this little area that's
yeah,
his.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they
I guess
it's paradise.
Yeah, and where he puts the dam, I guess, is what where it connects
to the bigger
river.
One. Yeah. To the river, the Amazon, I would guess.
Who knew he could make a dam? So he's like a beaver.
Yeah, he could do whatever.
And there's like a bunch of like there's trees and shit.
He's
like
insanely strong. I mean, they emphasize his strength.
Yeah.
A lot, which I sort of feel like he should be able to do more.
Yeah.
It kind of only serves the story his strength.
Yeah.
Sometimes he has it. Sometimes he doesn't.
True. Yeah. True.
Because David kind of holds his own against him, and I'm like, my guy, I saw him palm somebody's face like a basketball.
I do wish he was more violent. I mean, I get whatever. It's the 50s.
Yeah,
I had the same problem when I was talking about the Wolfman, which is like the Wolfman doesn't maul anybody. He like chokes you to death.
What?
Yeah, the Wolfman mostly fucking like strangles you. Like he doesn't maul anybody, which is what you want.
Yeah. Well, the 80s came around and they redid so many of these 50s movies, mm-hmm. right? And made them more violent. Like you have like an American Werewolf in Paris or in London.
London.
In London. And that's like super violent and crazy.
Yes.
you have the Blob. They redid the Blob made it gross and gory. So like, I think a lot of people feel that way or felt that way. Like filmmakers were like, man, I wish we got more out of this. And then they just remade them.
It's interesting that this really, unless you count The Shape of Water, this really hasn't been remade.
Yeah, although there's something in the works, apparently.
Is there?
Yeah, when I was up stuff, it kept coming up. Like Creature from the Black Lagoon to be remade.
I know there's a new Wolfman. There's a trailer out for the new Wolfman.
Who's in that?
From Girls. Oh, God. What's his name? Let me look it up. The Wolfman. But a lot of people are worried that he looks like a crackhead.
Oh.
Because they didn't show the Wolfman himself in the trailer. But then
James Wan is in early talks to direct. But I don't know. It's early talks. We'll see.
There's a Wolfman that's supposed to be the Wolfman from the new movie walking around Universal. And he looks terrible. And everyone's like, tell me this isn't the thing.
A modern retelling that pays homage to the original while leaning into visceral horror. Okay.
That's the new Creature movie?
Yeah. But we'll see. It's in development, so who knows if it'll make it in the works. As of August 12th of this year.
Okay. Christopher Abbott is the Wolfman.
Uh-huh.
And it's directed by Lee Whannell.
Lee Whannell, yeah.
Who did The Invisible Man.
He also, he's the creator of the Saw series, and he is also the creator of Insidious.
We don't have to hold those against him, but I do like Invisible Man. Maybe he's going around, he's going to fucking redo the Universal. Here's the thing, you can remake all these movies, but I don't think you could ever make them into a universe again, like the way Marvel is, which is what they wanted to do with that Mummy movie. Like, like The Invisible Man's brilliant, but
it started playing a trailer. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, he does. I know who this guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, he does kind of look like he turns into a wolf man.
He's also in...
Wait, why is it saying Ryan Gosling now?
Poor Things. Where? Where are you seeing Ryan Gosling?
Oh, that's from July 8th, 2020. Okay, that's not happening.
No.
And we are getting a Nosferatu. I mean, it's not Dracula, but I am too. Would you say Nosferatu is a better movie?
I've not.
Just to bring it back to the beginning of this month. And
I haven't seen Murnau's Nosferatu.
I think it's.
And I haven't seen the one with, what's his face, that monster? Klaus Kinski.
Oh, Klaus Kinski. I've never seen that one. But every still I see from that, he's fully grabbing Isabella Gianni's boobs. I'm like, that's great. In any event, I've seen the old Nosferatu, and it's
very, the Murnau one.
It's spooky. It's very spooky.
I've seen like the but it scenes doesn't, from it that everyone else
it's
has.
It's not like a film, you know? I don't know. I mean, obviously it is, but it's just like, it doesn't, I feel like it's more of a collection of spooky scenes.
Okay. It's a very early film.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. It feels that way.
And it's a total ripoff, which is interesting.
Yeah. I guess because they just couldn't do Dracula.
Yeah, he just did it.
Yeah.
And just changed the names and stuff.
You can't count Orlok.
But it's the exact same
story. Same story, yeah.
Yeah.
Except Dracula is so like sexy and handsome in comparison to this rat man who's like not allowed to, in polite society.
He's not allowed.
But in any event... That's funny. It went from monster to sexy man. And then now we've ended it with another monster who is also not allowed in polite society. With the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes.
Or the Swamp Thing, as I call him.
Who's
not from a swamp.
So in the end, he grabs her. He's like, whoop, yeet. And he jumps off the boat with her.
And Dana's genuinely screamed. And Bill was on the phone. I was like, ah! Did something happen in this movie?
It's wild.
I couldn't believe it.
It's wild.
You don't see it coming. And you could see him coming from a mile away in this movie. And that is the one thing you don't see coming.
And it's progress, right? Because Dracula basically sexually assaults everybody. He mesmerizes you so you don't fight back.
Yeah. Well, that's his roofie.
Right, yeah.
In this movie, they're roofieing the monster.
Right. And he brings her to the to his little like grotto, like Hugh Hefner's grotto.
Yeah, yes, I think that's exactly what Hugh Hefner based it on.
He was like, "Do you know the very sexy film
Creature from the Black Lagoon? I look like the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes,
same mouth.
Same mouth, same gills." and then David shows up with the rest of the crew, and they shoot the fuck out of him.
They shoot him, yeah.
They shoot him, and then he like stumbles around. He
just walks away.
And they want to finish him, and he's like, no, just let him go. And then you see him fall. You see like the last shot is like his lifeless body falling to the bottom, mm-hmm. which is sad.
Yeah, he walks into the water and just sinks. Which yeah. I'm like, well, then go get the body.
Yeah.
What a waste. Yeah. Everybody died. Go get him.
Like Mark said.
Yeah.
Let's get a little money off this.
Come on.
In the second one, I think he like is put in a like an aquarium or something.
Oh.
I don't know. The sequels.
That's very Shape of Water.
Yes. I kind of want to see the sequels to this because there's only two.
Yeah.
Compared to like some of the other ones where it went on and on and on. Mm. And they obviously they took way huge swings with them. So I kind of want to see where it goes. Well, I guess we could bring it back to like the monsters in general. How do you, at this point,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about the Universal monsters? Do you think about them any differently?
Mm.
Do you?
I feel like I know more about them now rather than them being like a vague idea or like a mood, right?
Have you seen, so what have you seen? Have you seen
I have seen none of these. I've never seen, I've read Frankenstein, but I've never seen the movie. I've seen like parts of it.
Wow, really?
I've seen the parodies of these things, right? Like I've seen like Young Frankenstein, but not Frankenstein. I've never seen the Wolfman. I've seen clips of the Wolfman that were featured in The Sandlot, which we watched a lot this summer because the boys love it.
Sure.
It makes me laugh so hard.
Sure.
Because it's like, it can only be killed by a silver knife or a bullet or a stick with a silver handle. And yeah. he goes, you're insane.
yeah.
They play that clip in Sandlot and oh, it's great. Yeah, I've never seen any of these.
Wow, that's, is there so a many, reason for that?
No, well, I guess unless you caught them on AMC or something,
uh-huh.
You're not going to see them in like pre-streaming era, right?
I saw them, I started with Abracadabra Meets Frankenstein because I think my dad showed it to me because it is for a movie that should not work. It is a brilliant comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I guess when I was a kid in like the mid 90s, they put them all out on VHS.
Okay.
And that's when I watched them all.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite when I was a kid was Wolfman.
Okay.
Now I would probably say, without a doubt, the best is Bride of Frankenstein. That's the best movie of the entire series. If you had to see more, now that you've seen Dracula and Creature Black Lagoon, I'd say see Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, and Invisible Man, because it's the same director as them.
Okay.
And it's Invisible Man, I think, is, for me, that was the real hidden gem, because when I didn't see it when I was younger, and then when I saw it, I was shocked at how funny and like satirical it was. Like it's almost a comedy. You don't necessarily need the Wolfman. But again, if you like spooky vibes, like that's the thing about these movies where it's like you can kind of just put them on and vibe with them.
Yeah.
You're
not going to miss much.
The forest in the Wolfman is the sort of platonic spooky forest of like, you know, fog and weird trees that are jutting in weird directions.
I'm thinking of these in terms of like their environmental spaces, right? So like the Wolfman's like very forest and like you know, nighttime, like these shots of, I would imagine, like a misty forest. And then Dracula is very like sort of worldly and urban and you know, these buildings, like very set in buildings. And then Black Lagoon is basically all underwater, which is great.
Yes.
It's an underwater one. And then I'm thinking of Frankenstein as like what I've seen of it anyway. It's like very pastoral, like farmhouses and countryside. Is it also city?
No, it's not city.
Hmm.
It's very village-like.
Villagey, yeah.
And the same thing is true for Wolfman.
Hmm.
maybe it's worth seeing Wolfman, because Wolfman, I think, actually has a really good central performance mm-hmm. by Lon Chaney Jr. as like somebody who's like going through this trauma. Like you even though they're such different stories, you can see like why they kind of hold together in a way.
I feel like in both of the films that we did, there's a lot of sexual anxiety.
Say more.
Well, there's like this sexual predator is Dracula, right? Yeah. And the creature from the Black Lagoon is also a sexual predator.
Right. He gets stopped before he can do anything.
Yeah.
But what if he wasn't stopped?
What if he wasn't stopped?
What was his plan?
What was it?
He grabs her.
He wants her to be his bride.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Bride of Gilman. That's the sequel.
Their child would be
that thing in the third movie.
Yeah. But it would be the ultimate person. Well, it looks like he can breathe out.
He can breathe air, yeah.
Yeah. But he's less agile on land.
Right.
He's kind of lumbering a little bit.
Mm.
Where he's like a dart in the water. Oh my God. All right. Let's put this to bed. Let's put this whole Halloween 2024 to bed. It's always sad to say goodbye.
It feels like it's over before it's begun.
But you know, this year, I always am sad at the day after Halloween. But I decided this year, it's all in my mind, right? Like,
keep Christmas in your heart.
Why can't I be spooky
right?
in November?
Be spooky all year long.
Why
my kids are. Yeah. We watch GTV Monster Hits in the summer. Like,
I'm going to be spooky all the way to Thanksgiving, motherfucker. Spooky. It's fall. Fall is allowed to be spooky.
Mm-hmm. Be spooky.
The Over the Garden Wall 10th anniversary special is in November. And that ends in snow. So,
yes.
So, you know.
And we discussed this on our Over the Garden Wall episode. I encourage you to go listen to it. It's fantastic.
That's how many Halloweens ago.
So many. So good. But yeah, they cover, there's a schoolhouse episode. So it's like back to school.
Yeah.
It's Halloween. They're dressed in Halloween costumes. Yes. There's the turkeys. So it's Thanksgiving and then they end in snow. So it's like the beginning of December. It covers like every bit of fall.
That is.
It's gorgeous.
True.
Let's go watch it.
Well, Janine, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
For watching Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's right.
We end every episode, every one we do, by saying
Goon bye bye. 'Cause lagoon.
Oh, I see.